The Weekend Podcast on Vox Markets with Justin, Peter and Steve. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 731. It's The Weekend Podcast. I'm joined by Steve. You all right, Steve?
Hello.
Not Pete. And not Pete, no. Pete's on holidays. He pretends he's on holidays, you know, just to seem busy. What he does, just, you know, basically spends a week in his bedroom with his trunks on.
Did he tell you he's going on holiday?
He sort of did, yes. He did tell it. But the funny thing is, we just had a text conversation with Pete included, and turns out he is abroad. And first text I got this morning, though, was, "Happy birthday, Pete. Are you spending it with your new girlfriend?" You're a childish Steve. But I love that. And then, so then Pete does keep his cards close to his chest, doesn't he? Even when he's not playing cards, just walks around with a stack of cards, close to his chest. But, so I said, "Oh, you got a girlfriend of you, Pete?" And, and then Peter sends a picture of a Labrador saying, "Yep, here she is." And so I said, "Who are you?" And then I said, "Are you joining the podcast anyway, Pete?" And he said, "I can't. I'm on a coach to Geneva. I think he's coming home this weekend." I say, "Are you with your girlfriend? Is she doing happy things for your birthday?" And he said, "Where are you getting your research from?" And I got a laugh. It came from you, Steve. you're hardly a fine example of how to research a stock.
Well, I did hear last night from one of my other friends who is friends with a friend who he's on holiday with.
Hang on, your friend of a friend? You heard it from a friend who's a friend of a friend. Go on then.
Yeah. Apparently he's taken a random girl on holiday, because you know he's gone on holiday with all our friends.
Yeah.
But apparently he's taken another random girl with him.
Well, did he not even mention that he's bringing this girl with him?
Well, I don't know if he mentioned it, but...
Oh, by the way, this is my girlfriend. She's like 85.
There's no confirmation that it says girlfriend, but let's be honest, that's quite good for Pete, just taking a girl on holiday.
Yeah, I've never known, and let's be honest, unless it's your sister or something, why would you take a girl on holidays with you? You haven't mentioned before, talked about. You know, there's something going on, isn't there?
Yeah.
But like I said, so it's very, see, he mentioned this. I often dig you about, I'm married with two kids. I'm not married with two kids, that's illegal. I'm married with a wife and got two kids. But, I often ask you and Pete if you're dating, and you give a little bit of information. Pete, nothing. Oh, stum, you know? By the way, did you see we're recording this on a Saturday morning? Normally we do a Friday sort of after market close. Did you see the game last night, Steve?
Yes.
That was a cracker. Yes. And I think
I wasn't expecting that at all.
I think if Wales had played like that for their sort of Six Nations campaign, they'd have won it.
Yeah, but that's a classic Wales, isn't it? They always kind of pull the stops out when it's too late.
Yeah. Very good, I thought. Okay, have you been looking through the stock market, Steve, this week? Anything?
Yes. Well, obviously, I've only been looking at my portfolio, which, it's not been looking amazing this week. For me,
anything stood out? Any stock stood out?
What's gone down? Hang on, let me look. So, well, actually, over the last 2 weeks, I haven't actually spoken to you for 2 weeks. We didn't do it last week, did we?
No.
Asia Met's gone down a bit, but I think that's kind of where it's kind of sit now, around by here. Do you think?
Yeah, they came out with some drilling results, which is good. Continuity. It's going to keep happening. I think the big thing that'll move it now. It's funding, you know, some partner coming on an agreement this, a JV sort of thing, or, you know, some kind of big financier will come in. I think that's what will move it. And they're getting to, and the exciting thing is now, they're down to like the last 25 holes. It's not a golf course or anything, or, you know, an odd love match. But they're coming to the last one. They've done a 90 hole so far drilled. They've got 25 left to do, so they've done the bulk of the work. And so we're coming to the end of the feasibility study now, and they'll be all collaborated together, you know, pulled together, and they'll come up with some hopefully decent or improved numbers on their last pre-economic assessment, which will be good, which was compelling anyway. You're talking about 14 million of profit a year over the life of the mine. Hopefully the life of the mine will go up And yeah, I thought good bits of news out this week. I thought, yeah, are you in Providence? You are, aren't you? Providence Resources.
Yes, I am. A very small amount, but yeah, I'm in.
I had Tony O'Reilly on the podcast this week, and after a while, it's been a while coming, but they've got a farming partner. So it's this who is it? It's Carn Energy, or subsidiary of Carn, which is quite a big company, and they've agreed to take 30% of the project, but they're paying 45%. That's a good deal, isn't it? You imagine having a cake there, Steve, right? And I got a cake, and I said to you, Steve, do you want some cake?
Yeah. Yes, please.
Okay, you can have for 30% of it. You got to pay me nearly half the price for it, though. That's a good little deal, isn't it?
So hang on. What, the 30% and 45%. How does that work? A half.
So let's say the cake is a pound, right?
Right.
And I said, do you want some cake, Steve? And say,
yes,
oh
please.
Yes, please. So it's going to cost you, though. So okay, well, how much? Well, so how much do you want? You say, well, just under a third. I'll have a 30%. I say, okay. So rather than charge you, say, so it's basically 1p, isn't it, for each percent of that cake, because it's a pound in its entirety. Rather than charging 30p for the 30, I charge you 45p for that 30%, which is a good deal for me, isn't it? Not so much as a good deal for you. I said, Steve.
No.
I said, and the thing is, Steve, I've done a lot of work on this cake. I bought it, you know, I put it on the table, it's all ready to eat. You know, you have to, if you want to get a bit of cake now, you have to go out and get it and do all the work. So, you know, the fact that I've done all this work, you know, so far, I think I should charge a bit more for it. And, you know, if you go and buy an entire cake, it'll cost you £1. And you're not going to eat all of it.
I just like to buy my cake and eat it, if I'm honest, so yeah.
Yeah, well, so basically, they're farming into the Druid and Drombeg now, because there's two sort of oil sort of stacks right above each other. They're originally just going to drill the first one, which are on about 3,000 metres down, which is called Druid. And this has like 3 billion barrels of prospective resources, the oil. And but now this farming's come in, obviously brought in more money. They're also going to drill further down, about 5,000 metres, down to the lower one, which is Drombeg. And that adds another 2 billion barrels. And I was just saying, it's phenomenal numbers here. You know, these are prospective 2C resources. You know, so the prospective, they're not reserves. Reserves mean they're proven. This means that they've been mapped 3D-wise and all that. They've done all the kind of stuff they can do without actually drilling it. And they think this is the kind of, looking at the geology and all they can, is it looking like 5 billion barrels. And I did some, I'm going to look it up because I'm not going to guess. But the numbers on this are phenomenal. Now, their market cap is about 100 million, right, Providence Resources. But let's have a look. I was working out. So they've got two stacks. One is 3 billion barrels. So they've got 2 billion barrels. And this is what I wrote in these. Okay, so they call in Druid, for example, is, and not only that, so it's three stacks, right? It's Druid, there's two bits of Druid, there's fan one, fan two, so there's two little bits of the tops. So you imagine the water, in the ground in the water, the first one you come to start drilling down is Druid. And then there's two little fans there. If they only manage to recover 10% of the prospective resources in fan one of Druid, that's a top asset, then that will be 98.4 million barrels. They own 56% of the farming, this means basically, to them, it's a profit of about 480. If they get about 10 bucks a barrel, you know, profit, they'll earn about 480 million. That's five times their market cap. Now, remember, generally, when you're earning a profit, your market cap is a multiple of that. So you could say 10 times that, really, you know, if you're going to average that and things.
How will that affect the share price then, do you think?
Well, it'll go down, Steve.
No, I know it'll go up, but how much do you think that will affect?
Well, if they strike, it'll be a re-rate. And even towards this, they're spudding in June, you know, that's when they're starting to drill. And I expect to see the price rise towards that on basically nearing the chances of success there. But listen, that's not it, though. If they do 10% of the entire area, right, if they get 10%, that would be worth 2.85 billion of profit to them, which is 28 times their market cap. That's only 10% of that one. And they've got nine other assets. None of the licenses in the IRC. That's just one. So that's, you know, the phenomenal upside here. You can see, you know, potentially be a 10-bagger easy. It's Providence Resources, PVR. Worth listening to Tony O'Reilly there on the thing. Any other things that happened this week? Oh, yeah, Tullow came out, didn't they? Do you own Tullow? No?
Yes, I'm down on them, though. I'm still a bit below my thought.
It's a funny price action going on with them. To me, this is a phenomenal story. You know, you've got an excellent dynamics here of news merging. So what you've got is the Botswana, you know, people there and the government and the country chronically short of energy. They're relying on diesel, which is unclean and expensive, and imports. which is very expensive. So they've got gas. Luckily, they've got coal bed and gas there. So they've got an asset they can use. And like the boys from Talao done it before, Tony Gilby, you know, pioneered this kind of power project by using CBM, coal bed methane, in Australia. And he made loads of money for shareholders there doing it. Now, he looked around the globe looking for, a similar kind of geology to the ones in Australia, plus also had a stable environment, government, democratic government, everything. And he found Botswana. And he thought, well, this is ideal. And so they started doing there. Now, they've done very well. They're the first company to get government pretty much approval on the economic side. They've got reserves there. So they've got the asset. They've now got a partner that can help them with funding. The government has requested them to do a 100-megawatt power station. It's all going great guns. But I don't know why the share price isn't moving. Because if they 100-megawatt power station, that's the first of many, I think. And once they start, he said, first of all, we'll start small. And once you prove that model, so 10 megawatts, you can just expand that easy. The first bit is the hardest. And I'm just saying, and also there's potential in South Africa as well, because they have chronic energy. Now, Botswana population isn't huge, about 3 million. But you imagine supplying 3 million people with power. It's a lot of money, or even half of those people with a lot of power, even the industry in that country. It's a lot of money can be generated. But also got the potential to, once they get it to the grid, to supply South Africa, which is like 56 million. And so, phenomenal amount of potential there. And Tony Gilby is not a guy who's talking, blowing hot air here. He's done it before. But the share price is just, it goes up, it goes down. On good news, it shoots up, and it just comes back down. And I'm thinking, sooner or later, it's going to blow through the ceiling. I don't know what will spur that price on. But something's got to happen, to really get it going.
On some share companies do that. They just don't do anything on good news and bad news. They just kind of sit there. Weird, isn't it?
Yeah, it was happened with for Asia Met for a while, didn't it? And then it blew through that 3 pence level. And now it's up over 4.5 pence. But it'll do the same again. It'll consolidate. And, on good news, then it'll blow through again. Because, you realise... Where is Talao? Market cap, something like, let's look, about 25, is it somewhere? 25 million? And he's looking at a 100 megawatt power station. It's 150 million worth of revenue a year. So, the profit of that, if we're going off 10%, it's only 18 million. So the profit off that, if you're going off 10%, 15 million, that's almost the size of their market cap. So you'd say, you almost turned up a 5-10. And that would be just for the first bit. So it's undervalued completely. Mm-hmm. Did you buy Teapot, by the way?
Yes, I did. And that's not looking great either at the moment.
I know, another company that doesn't understand what's going on. But it is. You do get, you get mechanics in the market. Some people are in at a lower level, selling at a bit of profit. They see a rise, they'll sell into it, so you get downward pressure. But it was down 8.45% on Friday. And I thought, they just had a trading update. And I'm just going to read, I'm just going to drop the highlights in the trading update. The announced on group revenue 12 months will be around so the end of the financial year. That's obviously already happened to the 31st of December. They'll put this out soon. And they're encouraged to start the year. So it's 3.6 million revenue. Sorry, got a bit of windy pops here. 3.6 million revenue. And the company is pleased to announce highly encouraged to start the new financial year. So revenue in the US has shown 25.6% growth in the first 2 months of 2017. And new customer signups continues at consistently high levels. That's very good to me. Does that sound good to you?
Yeah, it sounds good to So what happens is the share price goes down. Cracking.
Yeah. So it went up on the day and then came back on the day. So it ended up pretty much... It went up on Thursday when that was released, then came back on Friday. I think, what's going on? So it didn't make any headroom there. A lot of people... Listen, that's first 2 months. So if you assume that that's cumulative, So what's half of 25.6, Steve?
Don't ask me.
What you did? Don't ask him over there. Pete's not here, the math man. So 12.8, is it? Something like that. So if you're looking at 12.8% each month there, right? So I'm halving. It doesn't really work with percentages like that. But so they're doing over 10%. Now, I've done a spreadsheet, right? Doing 10% growth each month. And starting off with about £300,000 a year because, did 3.6 last year. And if you work it out over 12 months, that's pretty much £300,000 a year. So I started with that. And I've done, estimates of cash burn. And even if they... And they said... And the second thing they said, and this is in this release, pleased to announce that has negotiated significantly improved commercial terms in both the US and the UK, which will have an appreciable positive effect on the margins and growth in both regions. So... I did a spread. I love spreadsheets. I did a spreadsheet of different cash burns, and they said they're going to be down to 115,000 £1,000 a month cash burn. That's how much they're burning in January, they said. I don't think that's going to be a case now, because they're up at 260, you know, in October last year. So almost they're halving that. It's really, you know, I think a little bit ambitious. So I think they'll be down. So I've done it. I've even put the cash burn at 350 a month, you know, 350 a month, which is higher than they were in October. And even at that level, right, with 10% gain a month, they should be a minimum market cap of 22 million, and they're 10 million now. So you see double potential, even at the highest level of cash burn and 10% growth per month, they should be a 22 million market cap. And so I just think at the moment, you've got Jimmy Wales there doing the rounds, you know, promoting. He has access to the biggest shows anywhere, so, you know, in the world pretty much. So I just think it's you know, here fundamentally, it is undervalued. They've now got cash because they also raised some money. So they've got plenty of cash. So you can see they're not going to need cash for a long time. And their revenue's coming in, improving. You know, what's not to like here, Steve, eh? What's not to like?
I see. Yeah, so I made a bit of it. Well, that was a mistake, but a bit of advice from you, actually. No. Well, yeah, it was actually you telling me to sell a bit of Andalas to... and as soon as I sold, it's now gone up by 0.04 since I sold.
Yeah, I know that. I wasn't on the day. I'm sick of waiting for Andalas. So I wanted the money. So I thought, I still believe they have potential, massive potential in Indonesia. Of course they do. They hooked up with Pertamina, you know, the national gas company, for heaven's sake. You don't get too many 3 million market cap companies doing that. What they have got is a problem with funds, you know? I mean, they need to get funds in, literally. And so they are running on gas, and that's quite appropriate. So they've got plenty of it. But I mean, in fact, they haven't. See, that's quite accurate there. They're running on gas, but they can't get their hands on the gas. But they're that close to it. They're that close to the gas. But they're running on gas, you know? And I'm just thinking, are they going to just dwindle here? But it's almost like they hit a technical bottom here. They couldn't go any lower, you know, than they did recently. And it's literally, someone was watching you, Steve. I think Harry and Larry, they're watching. Right, Steve's out. Let's put it up. And
But it literally was, wasn't it? I sold, and within, it was probably an hour or two, it shot up, and then it's just continued to rise since then. I was like, oh.
That was annoying. I know.
It was.
And even this above rise, I sold on the last rally. It went up to 1.4 last time, but I sold on that. But I think it's even now just above that, which is annoying. I still will. I think when they secure some kind of funding here, because I will still get in there. Because like I said, what are they? They are a 3.5 million market cap company. And the potential here is huge in Indonesia, doing these gas sort of, you know, workovers and these wells in a country, again, you know, having blackouts, need energy. And the government is really behind, you know, new sources of gas. I think they have potential. I know, really annoying. I know it was. I don't know why that was. It's almost like saying, you know, if they dip to that again, it's worth getting in. I'm looking at Nicola Duke's chart here, and she puts a level at, what is that? What did she say? So then could look for upside break. First target, 0.166 and 0.22. Below 0.086 would be a concern. Telling me it would. Yeah, it went down to that level, didn't it? It's nuts. And, yeah, it looks like
it went down to 0.08 at one point.
Yeah, 0.086, yeah. So, in fact, a little bit below that, yeah. So, and I was just sick of waiting. I think everyone knows. The trouble is, everyone in the market sort of, you know, realises whatever they announce, they still need cash. And people saw any positive announcement as a chance for them to get the price up a bit, to get, you know, sort of place a bit of cash, place a bit of money, you know, earn a bit of cash. And so you get people selling into that, any rise whatsoever. But at the moment, on Friday, 7.55% up at 0.143. So, yeah, I mean, you know what I said, it's potential.
Well, it's like I didn't pull all my money out of it, so at least I've still got some of it, but it's still on a massive loss at the moment, so it still needs to make a huge amount of money. But the even annoying part is I took money out of there and put it into Uplands, and then they went down, so not on you. So it's like a double whammy.
Yeah, but listen, Uplands have the cash, right? It was very telling. I had David Bramall, right, as chairman of Union Jack Oil, on the podcast. And recently, you know, a while back, had a bit of volatility in the share price at Upland, because they've signed a farm in to this Wrestle asset in the Midlands there. And they went up, in Lincolnshire, basically, because the Lincolnshire Planning Committee got together. And they threw the planning out. They wouldn't give them planning for the while there. They're like, what's going on? And everyone was up in our... And luckily, with Uplands had a deal there saying they'd only sign into this deal if it was passed by planning, you know? So they weren't going to lose anything by this, or very little anyway, apart from a bit of time and you know, they've done putting the deal together. But you and Jack Orr, who's also one of the farming partners at Wrestle, I was on the podcast this week, and they've bought a bigger share in that asset. And he knows his stuff, David Bramwell. And he says, I don't see any chance of this. Because he said, the way the planning committee happens is this. You get up and present what you want planned, right? There's no question and answer session. You get down. Then someone gets up from the planning council with a load of questions they've written down while you've done your presentation, and you are not allowed to address those questions. He said, which is ridiculous. He said, we had all the answers to what she... We couldn't preempt what she's going to ask, so they threw it out on one of the technicality. He said, so now we've got those questions now. We can go back and answer all those questions, which is all fine. One of the questions they asked was, what is it? Get an oil spillage. And we've got contingency plans for that. We do this all the time. We are professionals. You know, we wouldn't go, oh, no, the oil spilled. We run. You know, that's not going to happen. We do have contingency plans in place for this. And we've been doing this for all our lives. It's our industry. You know, it's what we do. So he said it was thrown out on a series of ridiculous questions that we could answer and address. But we didn't have the chance to address it at that meeting. And so it sounded like the format of the planning committee there was flawed in some way, you know? So that's why he's bought more of a stake in the Wrestle. So now I think Upland are going for that. And also, they're around the corner. Steve, I spoke to Steve, Dr. Sensible Steve there. He's excellent at due diligence, and he said he will be doing or releasing news on Morocco and Malaysia. And if you look at some of the board members and what they've got in stock there from Malaysia, and these are very influential guys with big background in oil and gas, and they've got huge amounts of stock, they have the company. You know, one of them got 30-odd%, which is almost takeover style. And he's very high up in the Malaysian sort of government, or Sarawak government, which is part of Malaysia there. And I just think something's going to happen here. And the strategy here with Steve is sexy and sensible. So he's going for two sensible assets that will produce near-term cash flow, and then he'll go for two big ones, which are more high-risk, but have transformational qualities to them, and could be company making. I mean, you could double. And I think those are coming in very soon. The Moroccan and Malaysian assets are coming very soon. And like I said, Upland, what is it? A ridiculous. And you've got to look at market caps. When you look at bagging stocks, right? You've got to look at market caps and the potential they have. Because when you've got a market cap of 4.89 million, which Upland has, it doesn't take a lot to go make that go to 10 million, you know? That's double straight away. Now, if you're talking about a company that's 100 million, it's a lot harder for a company to go from 100 million to 200 million, you know, because they've already gone through that curve of upside potential of surprises. Or if you're talking about 10 bagging, if you've got a company that a market cap that's 2 million market cap, you know, to get to 20 million, it's not as hard for a company, say, who's 100 million to get to a billion. That's a lot harder. You know, if you get a lot more people working, a lot more profit generation, you can go from, a 1 million market cap to 10 million market cap just on hype. You know, so when you're looking at baggers, you've got to look at the market cap to a certain extent, because it's a lot easier for smaller market caps, especially if they've been oversold, to double than it is for bigger market caps. And that's, like,
and that's the excitement about the AIMs, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. That's why they say, I talk about big companies, an elephant never gallops, It'll trot, but you won't get, but you'll get little terriers running like hell. Anything else? Okay. There's two companies I look at, talking about small caps, that I think have a very exciting little future here, right? I don't know if you're any of these, but CAF and ECR. Do you know about these, Steve?
I heard you talk about them, but I'm not in any of them.
Well, they're both interesting, because CAF is China Africa Resources. Now, it was Paul Johnson's sort of vehicle here, and off the back of Metal Tiger. Metal Tiger did very well. It went from, like I said, Paul was one of the first guys I ever had on the podcast, and he'd come on almost on a weekly basis just to help me fill slots, and very obliging guy. But he also realised he's getting a bit of publicity here, so he was doing that. And then I was saying to him, you're 3 million market cap, and you've been doing a lot of projects here. You're investing in a lot of projects. You've got a lot of things going on. And then all of a sudden, one day, we said this about five times. It took about five or six goes to break through that, almost one pence level, And then it broke through and went up to 5p. So, with CAF now, he's just stepped aside. He stepped down from the board, which was a surprise in many people's eyes, because they thought we were going to do, a Metal Tiger Mark II. When I thought, I'm going to sell here. This is not going to plan. And the share price took a dip on that. It went down by 14% or something. But then they started appointing people to the board. And I'm looking at these people, and I'm thinking, hang on a sec. What is going on here? It's very interesting. Let me just get up. I've written some notes on... CAF, here we are. I've written some notes on the board of directors. Now, taking into account, this is a 3 million market cap company. It's a micro. Most most people who have been at bigger companies wouldn't even look at this level of stock, this stock this size, you know? Now, first of all, the CEO now has taken over, David Lindsay, CEO, is formerly an executive director of Baird Dalbear, which is an advisory firm. It advises mining companies around the world. And they've worked with 10,000 companies, you know, the big companies, talking about, and they do Joke Resources and all this stuff. He also founded Sirius Investment, which is a $300 million Gibraltar-based multi-strategy fund. Also, he was CEO of Crossum Asset Management, a $500 million fund, all right, which was sold for a ridiculous amount. They've also brought on board an advisor called Frank McAllister. He has over 50 years' experience. Now, you know, his CV is amazing, but the last couple of companies he had, he was independent director of Cliffs Natural Resources, $2.9 billion company. He's also chairman and CEO of Stillwater Mining Company, a $2.1 billion company. And thinking, hang on, why are these guys? No, that doesn't stop there. They've also brought on board Guy LaBelle, 30 years experience, until recently served as vice president evaluations of Capstone Mining, a $628 million company. He's also been director of Gold Queen Mining, which is $92 million. And he's also held, you know, various roles at BHP Billiton, and which is one of the biggest companies in the world. And they go, what's going on here, you know? And they've just recently signed a guy called Peter Bodgtoss. Peter Bodgtoss, which I grant you, but the best names. But, you know, again, chairman and CEO of Greenstone Resources, Desert Sun Mining Corp, which has acquired $575 million in shares. US Gold Corp, which is a $16 billion company. And, you know, it's made 20 significant corporate acquisitions, mergers and sales that involve 24 operating mines. And he's done everything from financing. I'm thinking, hang on, these are four guys with major CVs, you know, actually coming on board with a micro cap, a 3 million market micro cap. It's almost like somebody, you know, getting a proper international football manager, you know, or a manager from a Premier League team coming down and managing your kids' team on a Sunday, you know? Thinking, what's going on here? Why is this happening? I mean, it's not exactly the same because you haven't got the potential here. But when you've got, a listed company and you've got a bit of cash and you've got these people joining, you've got to think these guys are going to be doing something serious with this company, you know? And so I just think, always follow the management. Management, to me, I always look at management and I'm thinking something very interesting is going on here. Paul Johnson, by the way, still holds about just under 8% of stock. But I think CAF, it's going to change its name to Pembridge. At the moment, it's regarded as a cash shell on AIM. Now, they have to find an investment and do a reverse takeover before July or they're delisted. So it's quite a risky play. But knowing these guys in play, I think they're definitely going to do something before July, you know?
So has this all happened quite recently then?
Yeah, they've been looking at the last couple of... let's have a look. These signings have happened in the last... Literally, senior management was on March the 9th. March the 2nd was Frank McAllister. February the 22nd, and board changes February. So from February the 17th, all these people come on and helped, you know, start joining the company. So you're thinking, something's going on here. And when you look at it, like you said, again, looking at market cap, 2.46 million this is. This could double quite easily, you know, if they pull in a decent... They already got two investments. They need to do a reverse takeover. So that could double quite easy. And also ECR Minerals. I've just taken a little punt in because I interviewed Craig Brown, the CEO, and he's a guy who's taken projects from, you know, exploration, production, exploration and development, and then put them into production. And he's got a good track record. And he's got together with Christine Dennis at Optiva Securities and a couple of other people there. And he's starting, the last management failed here. And it was a dog of a company, and everyone said ECR dreadful. But what you get is this rebound, and some of the best, you know, returns you can get in the stock market are rebounds in a company that's been treated badly, you know, not looked after, has assets, but they've done nothing with them. They just basically had I'm not saying this is what the company did, just in for case of libel, but the previous management didn't get those assets performing to their potential, you know. And now you've got a guy called Craig Brown come in there. They've just got a Chinese investment come in who's going to take almost 30% of the stock, and this Chinese company are well connected. And I'm thinking that's also worth looking at. Like I said, it's about 3.5 million market cap. And, you know, how hard would it for this to get to like 10 million? Not a lot. Just do some drilling, you know, prove up some assets, get a bit of cash, and they've got a backer there. It's not hard. These kind of companies can double overnight on a whiff of something positive, you know? So it's worth looking at there. I'm just wondering if any more news out this week, Steve. This girl, do you know this girl Pete's dating, Steve?
No, I don't know. I've just been looking on Facebook, actually, earlier to try and find out who it was.
You've been snooping on Pete on Facebook?
Yeah, totally.
Totally. By the way, another company that released this week, Horizonte Minerals, they've announced the contracts for feasibility study, which is good, which is going to plan, which they said they would. I wrote about Harvest Minerals last week. It's one worth looking at. The guy, again, excellent track record, Brian McMaster. They do basically fertilizer. The profit margin, this is great. They've got fertilizer. In Brazil, one of the biggest importers of fertilizer ever. Now, they've got this fertilizer. They dig up the ground. It costs them all in cost, $7. They can sell it for 60, you know? And they're going to be hopefully doing, they're ramping up to 500,000 tons a year. And that's around about 20, you know, if you do say average of, say, $50, that's around about a profit of $20 to $25 million a year when they ramp up to this amount. And they are like 15 million market cap. Again, potential there, 10 bagger. So have you any, going back to this, which is more important, going back to Pete's, potential misses. Have you any idea who it is?
No, but apparently, I've been told there probably is something going on there, but obviously Pete's denying that. It's interesting there's no pictures on Facebook of that, because I don't know if you noticed, they have been posting pictures of their holiday, but there's no pictures of them together, or even her on it.
I've got no friends on Facebook.
Oh, yeah.
I just deleted everyone, and I went back on, because Vox has a page on there. And who do I look for then?
That's the thing. She's not on there, so it's quite. But that's Pete through and through, isn't it, Mr. Mystery?
I sent Pete the friend request about 2 months ago. He hasn't accepted.
I think he goes on Facebook about as much as you do.
Maybe I should just take the hint. All right, Steve. Well, I'll leave it there. Any plans this weekend?
No. Bit of a chilled one, so I've got a busy week next week. Got a filming job up a mountain on Monday, so need to kind of prepare myself. It's one of those concerning jobs. I had a meeting with the clients on Friday, and they were like, everything good? I'm like, yeah, my only concern is I might not be fit enough to walk up the mountain. And they're like, cool.
which mountain?
Hennevan in the Brecon.
All right, so why are you filming? I don't know, what's it for?
It's for a client, a bottled water client.
Oh, I see. So they're going to say this is the source of... I can guess who that is. Is it Brecon Cariad Water?
No. Maybe.
Oh, okay. Lovely. And, yes. Well, at least you won't get thirsty there, Steve, anyway.
Because
assume your tickets of water with you, so it's good. You've probably drunk it all by the time you get your top. They said, right, let's get the bottles out to film them. Oh, sorry. Were they for filming? They drunk all those. It's thirsty as hell. All right, have a nice weekend, Steve.
And
speak next week and do some more. I gotta laugh, you do more research on Steve Potential's girlfriend than you do in stocks that, cost you money. I've been researching online. Pete's Potential girlfriend.
Come on, this only comes around once every like 10 years, so.
Yeah, not even that. All right, so. Maybe we should get help. Okay, other people's turn. If you're listening to this now, his name is Pete Hibbard. Just if you see him around, get his picture in your head. If you see him with a lady, just take a picture. And he's in the Surrey area, but he's in Geneva until Sunday. So, get everyone on it. Marvellous. Well, do you know what? I'm going to look forward to quizzing him next week on this. I know he's going to deny everything. Just deny everything. No. So, okay. So, I'm interested in that now. Marvellous. Well, are we sure it's a girl?
Not 100% sure. It could be a boy, but I've been told it's female oriented.
I'd love that. If Pete just came on holidays with a fella and said, "She's my new fella." What? Oh, okay, nice, Pete. Well done. Brilliant. All right. See you, Steve. See you next week.
See you. Bye.
The Weekend Podcast on Vox Markets with Justin, Peter and Steve. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.